Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Dimitri Papadimitriou, who's the president of the Levy Economics Institute and the Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He's testified on a number of occasions before committees of the United States Congress, was vice chairman of the Trade Deficit Review Commission of the U.S. Congress, and was a member of the Competitive Policy Council's Subcouncil on Capital Allocation. He was also a distinguished scholar at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dimitri Papadimitriou.
Thank you very much for having me.
And of course, today on Wall Street, the stocks tumbled sharply. European stocks really took a dip. Then the Dow was down 103 on the news of the Dutch government collapsing and on French President Nicolas Sarkozy losing the first round and likely to be replaced by the socialist candidate. But nevertheless, we've spoken a few times about the kind of malaise in terms of Europe's ability to deal with its ongoing problems in the Eurozone. Clearly, today's events are not a good indicator. But where would you rate the situation today, given our earlier conversations where we always said, you know, when are the Europeans going to get their hands around this problem?
I am not surprised with the events of today, as I had indicated previously. The general population in Europe, except Germany, perhaps, is the anti-austerity trend. So we will see the sentiment coming in from conservatives, coming in for socialists, coming in from members of parties that are ultra-nationalists, as we have seen the important showing of Marine Le Pen. In France, as we see, for instance, some changing of tune from the conservatives in Greece, even though they did agree to the second memorandum and the austerity conditionalities that they have placed on Greece. But nevertheless, in order to go in concert with the general sentiment, they have to actually present themselves that they either have to renegotiate the terms, or they basically have to do something to deal with the events of high poverty, very high unemployment, especially among young people, and the dark future that it appears to be all over Europe, with the exclusion of Germany. As you correctly pointed out, we see problems also with the government in the Netherlands. As well as we see that there is some capital flight out of the Netherlands, out of Belgium, and out of places where they appear to be secure, such as France and towards Germany. But Germany cannot accommodate that capital in flight. And therefore, there is a sense that the Eurozone isn't looking quite good very near future. I hate to be the Cassandra, but on the other hand, there are no omens there that will let me see anything positive.
Well, on Saturday, Christine Lagarde, the president of the International Monetary Fund, said a global undifferentiated rush to austerity will ultimately prove self-defeating. But she also acknowledged the quandary facing European leaders, and that is that they simply don't have the resources to pay for stimulus programs like public works projects that would ease the pain of the unemployment that you mentioned, about 30% amongst the young in France and over 50%. Amongst the young in Spain, and of course, the across-the-board declining wages. So how do you deal with this? You have Spain having trouble financing its existing debt, let alone coming up with any more stimulus spending to get out of the hole.
Well, you see, the difficulty is that if the decisions are being made in Berlin and Berlin doesn't have to worry about growth, doesn't have to worry about unemployment, since it is enjoying really a good economic data, such as growth and employment and so on. It's very difficult for them to accept that there is a stimulus effect that will bring actually the rest of the member states of the Eurozone in a growth path. And therefore, unless there's some leadership that comes from the quarters of the newly elected, whether it would be in France, whether it would be in Greece or Spain and Italy, finally decide that the path that they have embarked following austerity isn't going to deliver the goods and the targets are going to be missed, then I suspect that we will wait a few months more, perhaps a year, until things come to a complete stop. As you know, the IMF has been coming with projections about growth in Spain, which are abysmal. They are coming with projections in Greece, which are abysmal. They are coming with projections that are not good for Italy. They're asking for postponement. Governments across Europe are asking for postponement of meeting these deficit targets. And you can do this without any growth. The targets are not going to be met, not in 2 years, but not in 3 years. So unless there is a what I would call a European Marshall Plan, we're looking for some for a tunnel that basically does not have light at its end. One could question, how could we do it? Well, you know, there is an incomplete project in the Eurozone. You have a monetary union, but you have no fiscal union. And therefore, it's a different situation to have a monetary union, which is the same as being in a gold standard, and not being able to have any room to maneuver. That's not what was intended to have in a Eurozone, or even the larger situation as the European Union. So I have to say that even in the monetary union, we find ourselves that a central bank, whose function should include being a lender of last resort, is absent. And the expectation is that somehow or other, the lender of last resort doesn't need to be present, and that countries through austerity should be able to maintain the monetary union and to maintain the use of a currency which is not their own. Clearly, we see the results of it. My suspicion is that at the end of the day, if Germany is the only country standing, it might actually decide that it's time for Germany to leave, to exit the euro. Instead of having a talk about Greece exiting Europe, or perhaps Spain or Italy or Portugal, I think the most likely is that the German people might actually decide at the end that they cannot afford to be in the euro.
Let me again remind the audience, if I may, I'm speaking with Dimitri Papadimitriou, who's president of the Levy Economics Institute and Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. You mentioned the dismal growth rate in Spain, Dimitri. In fact, they're in a recession. Their output fell 0.4%. And then already in recession are Italy, Belgium, and the Netherlands, and then, you know, nearby outside of the Eurozone, the Czech Republic. So there is, the point that you just made is actually quite extraordinary that we've heard so much talk about Greece leaving the Eurozone and the idea that maybe at the end of the day, Germany may just walk away. They've been the beneficiaries of it largely, having created vast export markets, and they did do all the profligate lending. That wouldn't mean that they're going to walk away from those debts, is it? I mean, I don't think they're being very honest about their debts, are they, the Germans?
Well, they're not, because, you know, their debt is, as it stands now, higher than that of Spain. So the issue here is, can they afford to stay in the Eurozone? Because after all the rescue packages that are being offered, the two of them in Greece, the one in Portugal, the one in Ireland, and perhaps the forthcoming one in Spain, ultimately the major responsibility is really Germany's, because that's really how they have boxed themselves in, to be the only growing economy at the expense of the other member states of the Eurozone. It seems, therefore, that at the end, and they may not happen while Angela Merkel is the chancellor, but let's not forget that she's coming up for re-election next year, and things don't look that good for her either. Not that the SPD is going to do anything different, but perhaps might come to a realization that the way the game is being played, there is not going to be any winners. My suspicion, therefore, is that after the elections of France, things might change dramatically, because even if Mrs. Sarkozy were to win by securing the votes of Marine Le Pen, I don't think he can continue on the same path as he has started. He also has made some move, perhaps their election pronouncement, pre-election pronouncements, that the ECB has to also consider as part of its job the growth and not only price stability. That, of course, comes totally against what Germany believes, because the ECB is actually a blueprint of the Bundestag. And the Bundesbank basically has only one goal in mind, and that is price stability.
So I think most analysts, though, Dimitri Papadimitriou, don't think that Sarkozy has much of a chance. And what would happen then with this François Hollande's administration, huge critic, of course, of austerity? Again, the questions arise, where does the stimulus come from?
He has suggested, if in fact he's the winner, that he was not going to go along with the social compact. And the social compact, if you recall, called for every member state to adopt a budget rule, a balanced budget rule constitutionally. So if that's not going to happen, then of course we'll be looking for a fiscal union. And a fiscal union might be the answer if the Eurozone is to actually survive, because then you will have a project that perhaps goes to its completion. To have a United States of Europe to be in some ways similar to the United States of America, where when New York sends more money in terms of tax receipts to Washington, it receives much less than the opposite situation might be in Delaware, where it receives a lot more than what it sends to the federal government, with a U.S. Treasury that does the job of monitoring the fiscal revenue sharing, if you like, because that's really what a union is supposed to do.
So in closing then, Dimitri Papadimitriou, let's look at the politics a little bit in terms of, for a long time, for example, George Soros, himself a Holocaust survivor, has been concerned about the European malaise and has warned that if Europe doesn't get its hands around this crisis and create the kind of firewalls and the Federal Reserve mechanism necessary, there's going to be a return to right-wing politics that, of course, the tragic 30s and 40s were rife with. And to some extent, some of his dire predictions seem to be taking place. If we're to look at the election results in France, where you have 30% unemployment and the youth and 50% in Spain. Spain's not heading in a fascist direction, but the young French workers, they tend to be the working class kids, did vote for the right-wing ticket. Is that some kind of harbinger, do you think?
Yes, I think so. I think the ideological shifts are going to take place, and this is actually quite frightening. When you talk about being reminiscent of the Great Depression, well, these were the numbers that we were confronted with during the Great Depression. One was talking about 25% unemployment. Well, in France, we don't have 23%, 24%, but we do have it in Spain, and Spain is a large economy. So you can't really expect, unless there is a New Deal type of a thing that Roosevelt have implemented, there's no way that you can expect that the market somehow or other will find a solution, that Angela Merkel seems to think that somehow or other, if we put our house in order in terms of fiscal responsibility, things will work out miraculously. So I think that when George Soros is talking about it, I think he's actually quite right. You know, those kinds of things can be solved, and if there is spectacular understanding, not mediocre understanding of what really is at stake. You know, the ECB, if it were to be the lender of last resort, it would stabilize the financial markets immediately. If there's always a buyer of last resort, the markets wouldn't have to worry about having to price Italian bonds or Spanish bonds on the expectation that there might be default. And the same thing if there was a fiscal union. In fact, stimulus packages using the currency of the union would have been not be the same problem as we have now, where every member state is fending for itself.
Well, but it leads you to absolutely scratch your head about the ECB, and you refer to it more as the Bundesbank, the German bank. With all of these problems we've discussed here, Dmitry Papadimitriou, inflation is the last one that they should be worried about.
Right. But that's what they're worried. Even if it's non-existent, we have the president of the Bundesbank worried about the long-term refinancing operations, the LTRO, that President Draghi actually implemented to support Italian and Spanish bonds. And they're worried about it, and they're talking about exiting, without realizing that if indeed the ECB were to announce this, the interest rates will go through the roof.
Well, we can only scratch our heads, and I thank you so much for joining us here today, Dmitry Papadimitriou.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Dmitry Papadimitriou, who's president of the Levy's Economics Institute, and Jerome Levy, professor of economics at Bard College. He's testified on a number of occasions before committees of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate, was vice chairman of the Trade Deficit Review Commission of the U.S. Congress, and was a member of the Competitive Policy Council Subcommittee on Capital Allocation. And he's also a distinguished scholar at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared.